Hey, everybody, welcome. Are you kidding me, dude?
I didn't know that you were going to start.
I literally said ready, and then you didn't say. I've never once counted us in.
You got to count me in, dude.
I've never once counted you in.
You got to count me in like iCarly. No,
every time I say ready, and then you go, I'm always ready. And then I go, and then.
I wish you yelled
it's
more.
It's so.
Like Freddy. Dude. Three. Two.
Oh, like in iCarly?
I know. You see.
All right, 3, 2. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Burber Watch Podcast. My name is Adam Cook, and as always, I am joined here by Calder, the Amos of Wood. Calder, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Did you just yawn at the very beginning of the podcast? The first thing you did was yawn in our
it's
podcast.
It's raining out today, dude.
Good point. That's what happens.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't know it's raining because this is the only window I have, and it's.
Oh, but it's very dark out there.
Less than the size of my body. Not actually legal, by the way.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So, because if there's a fire at the door, I'm dead. Yeah. I should really get a fire extinguisher in my room.
You don't need it.
Well, we'll see.
Your fat fucking mouth to spit it out.
Okay, dude. For those of you who don't know, the Bro Overwatch Podcast is a podcast where two guys talk about the Overwatch League, and we actually have a lot to talk about this week, don't we? Something important happened, which we'll get into. But
what?
We'll see.
Okay.
First, we've got a little bit of news. There's not much. We'll just run through it. First, Malik got married. He joined the married man meta. Now he's going to be... His true powers will be unlocked, right?
What a fucking sleeper news story, dude. That's your opening story?
Well, I start off with the feel-good stuff. Well, actually, this next one's not feel-good. I guess. It's kind of neutral. Fusion parted ways with Emong and Kabaji because they were signed on as like org streamers. And they just went, eh, we don't need to... Because I've always thought, do these streamers actually, like, turn a profit for these organizations at all?
Mm-hmm. Do you have any conclusions from what happened, or no?
No, like, this is a podcast, so I thought we'd start a discussion about whether or not it.
Well, I thought you had some sort of, like, evidence, but I feel like it's just a mutual... I don't know if they'd sign on to, like, who's... Paying who? Are they giving Emong a salary and then he's giving them?
I think they give the streamers some money, and then they just put like graphics on, being like, "Hey, I'm part of this team."
So it's more of an advertisement than a.
Yeah. Like, so I guess they were like, "This isn't really worth anything."
Well, it is and it isn't, depending on like what stage they're in, because. XQC and Sentinels, that's probably worth it, but yeah. Emong and the Fusion, who are larger than Emong, probably not worth it.
Yeah.
In, like, a pure business sense. Like, the Dufresne and Atlanta's probably worth it, you know?
Yeah, I also feel like they probably just feel like more of their players are probably streaming anyway, so they can just be the sponsored streamers anyway. Anyway, so that's interesting. It doesn't really seem like a sad thing. It's just a thing.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
In a joyous thing, we kind of talked a week or two ago about how Asking announced his retirement. And then I said, I think he's probably going to come back. And he did, like, a week later. He says, I just had one of those moments where I hated the game and left. But I realized I liked the game. So I'm coming back. Seems to happen a lot.
I feel like that a lot of the time, but... The difference between me and Asking is that people actually care about what Asking does.
Mm.
So, you know.
That is a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see where he goes. Hopefully, he'll get onto a team. Speaking of getting onto a team, a bunch of people were just kicked off of a team. Washington Justice just got rid of their entire coaching staff. Wizard Hyung, Avala, MKL, and Shrugger. It's just Shrugger.
Yeah, you had a little trouble with that one, huh?
I was looking at his Twitter handle, not his name.
I don't know if Wizard Young's gonna get picked up. I feel like the assistant coaches might. Because it seems like Washington kind of was a fairly positive team near the end of the season, but
on one hand, I feel like most of the Stage 4 success was due to the meta and the players, less so to the coaching. But on the other hand, a lot of people are being like, Wizard Young's not gonna get a job again, and I'm like, I mean, having one bad season doesn't mean that you're a bad coach. Now, he should probably work on his, like, ego a little bit because he thinks he's the best coach in the world, it seems.
So there's Gladiators have a position. Houston has a position. They won't go back to Washington. That doesn't make any sense. Who else would have a coaching position? There's, like, an assistant one at Toronto.
Yeah, he could come in as an assistant on a team. Maybe. Yeah. Oh, Spitfire, because we've...
Shanghai.
Not officially maybe. Spitfire. Oh, yeah, maybe a Shanghai assistant coach, but not officially, but people have been talking about Spitfire's coaching staff maybe going, so maybe that, I don't know.
So there are places for him to go. It just depends what the teams want to do, right?
Yeah. And then one more exit from Washington. Not really an exit, more of a... Eh? Ark is now a free agent. His contract's up. I'm assuming that's the case with actually a lot of them. Mm-hmm. It's just Ark's the only one that's like gone out and said it. But he's basically saying
a little earlier or something, or he's not in negotiations like with Washington actively.
Yeah.
That could probably be why.
He basically said, my contract's over, so I'm just like open to offers, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to be on Washington, because if I don't get any offers that I like, then I'll just stay with Washington if they'll have me. So it's not as much. He hasn't left, but he's looking for a team. Well, he has left. He's a free agent. That's it. Bye.
Yeah.
All right. That's the news. Now let's get into what matters.
Can I bring up one thing real quickly that's off topic?
Yes.
So you know how everyone on... in Overwatch League announces stuff on Twitter and shit like that.
Yeah.
One of the trending things is it says Kraft cheese slices. It's trending in Canada and Wisconsin. And then, so I click on it and I go, what is that? Why are Kraft cheese slices trending, you might ask? And it's because the favorite movie snack by state, this graphic says that Wisconsin's favorite movie snack is Kraft cheese slices. Number one, how do you eat those in a movie? Because there's so much wrapping. Like, there's so much unwrapping that is involved.
Pre-unwrap them and put them in a bowl.
Are they on something? Like, are you just eating plain Kraft cheese slices? There's not really any other weird things in here. Like, there's candies I've never heard of. But who the fuck needs that much fake cheese inside of them? I also get it's Wisconsin. But just eating good cheese, you know? I don't know.
It's because they usually have good cheese, and they're like, I'm going to the movies. I'm going to treat myself to some bad cheese.
I think this is a problem.
It is probably a problem.
I think they should secede. Because that's disgusting. That's not even a candy, dude. How is that going to be your favorite movie candy? Who asked that question, and then you go, oh, yeah, cheese. Cheese is my favorite candy.
It's not favorite movie candies. It's movie snacks.
No, it says favorite movie candy by state based on social media, Walmart, and Target. Unofficial. But
wait, how does Walmart and Target know that when they buy Kraft cheese slices, they're going to a movie?
That's actually a good question. It might just be a fake thing. To kick off October, Lights, Camera, Pod compiled an unofficial list of preferred movie. What does that mean?
Does that just mean he guessed? He just went to Walmart and was like, hey, what do people buy a lot? It's like, I don't know, Kraft cheese singles. All right, that means they're probably going to a movie.
Also, who the fuck buys Kraft cheese slices? Is that still a thing that people buy?
Families. They can't afford it.
I guess.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. We've already spent too much time on this.
I have definitely one last fake. Thing to okay. say. One of last things to say, and it's that if you can really whip a Kraft cheese slice at someone.
Oh, yeah.
Try that at home, kids.
Try it at home. Throw it at your dad's eye. All
right. Yeah, right in its fucking dumb eye.
So there may or may not have been an event that mattered to the Overwatch League this weekend.
Was it Zed performing that concert?
Yeah. Zed performed a concert, and he also plays Overwatch, so that was pretty big.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning of the show. Did we watch Watchpoint?
We had it on, but we were mostly watching XQC.
That's true, because I don't give a fuck about Watchpoint. And we missed whatever Jeff said, but I also don't care.
Oh, yeah, because you and I went to get Menchie. No, did we get snack? No, we got snacks at halftime. We went and got Menchie's.
Yeah, I think we were just coming. We came home late from lunch.
Yeah.
Or something.
Oh, so you're ashamed that it was Menchie's?
We didn't get Menchie's.
Yeah, we did.
No, we never got Menchie's.
Wait, that was Saturday. That was
Homecoming. Yeah. Anyway.
That was Spider-Man Homecoming.
Maybe. So then we watched Zed's performance. Now, Zed's performance started off well. But then he started playing his new song with Kalani.
Well, that's the thing. The whole thing was good except for that part, yeah, I think. Not that the song wasn't good. It just wasn't good for a concert in a massive stadium.
Because no one knew the song. And I don't think that's the demographic for a Kalani song. Because it's not like a... it's not on the radio yet, I don't
know. Well, you were even like, this is a bit low energy for this environment. And then I was like, well, usually they like have a low bit before they do a build up. And then it just didn't build up. It just ended.
Yeah. And, you know.
Now, was it better than DJ Khaled? Yes.
Less memeable.
Yeah, less memeable, but very good.
Mm-hmm. Should I do my DJ Khaled dance?
Yes. That's got to be much more enjoyable for the audio listeners.
Could you hear my feet?
Although, here's the thing. Audio listeners, you got a better treat because you just get to imagine that in your mind. Video watchers, you now know that Calder hasn't changed out of his pajamas all day.
That's not true. I had two classes today. Cuck, I just haven't showered today, but I got caught in the rain and put on some gym jams to be comfy.
Don't believe you. All right. So then,
after the Zed concert, the game started, right? And now this game starts, and Adam's already angry because, you know, I'm a better host than him, and he's just a stupid fucking cucklord. So the game starts. Why is this not on the front page of competitive Overwatch? Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
What?
Why is the grand finals, like, post-match thing not on the front page of competitive Overwatch?
Because it happened 2 days ago.
And?
It wasn't pinned.
Match, post-match,
post-matches VOD. Are never pinned, dude.
So, we start watching... This is the biggest one in the history of the league.
Literally, just go to the Wikipedia page. Okay, dumb.
So we started watching, and you know, we start off with the first map. We start off with Lijiang Tower.
Nah, I'm just gonna say real quick that one of the quickie predicky things that they do was what was this map gonna be? I predicted Lijiang, and then it showed that it was Lijiang, but still let people vote for like five seconds.
Are you going to tell them about all your fucking
And then you somehow today? Still missed all your And then you somehow right? still... Oh, yeah, I did get all of them right.
Yeah, that's really cool.
No big deal.
No one gives a shit.
No big actually. Deal.
So we... On Lijiang Tower, since Vancouver's such a dominant control team, boys, we kind of thought Vancouver would come out and win this, didn't we? Or at least be competitive. Now, in the first round, they got their absolute dick pushed in. They only really won one fight.
And then lost the next one.
Yeah. because they only got 31% to the San Francisco Sharks, 100%. And the second round, you're like, okay, well, that was like a, I, for the life of me, can't remember what was the, what like first specific match they were on. And I'm, I feel like a dumb. Why is this not on the website? I'm so pissed off right now.
Yeah, the website's really bad. So, if you're wondering why we're so disorganized, usually we have the website up with the previous matches. But for some reason, the grand finals match isn't on the website. If you go to the grand finals thing, it literally just goes, it's going to be at the Wells Fargo Center. And it's like, it already happened, guys.
Anyway, so you kind of think that the first one's a fluke. Like, they're just getting used to it. They haven't played in 2 weeks. Maybe Shock just, like, I don't know, had a strat for that map. And then they didn't crush them on the second round, but...
No, it was... very close still in the won. Second round.
Yeah. But it was one of those matches where, like, you're watching Shock, and you're like, oh, okay, the Shock lost this one. They'll just go to round three. And then they just won. And you're like, oh, I guess it's 1-0 now. I was kind of expecting it to go to three.
Yeah, Eichenwald really looked like it was going to be a draw. But then...
we were talking about Lijiang Tower, but yes. Oh. Eichenwald did look like it was going to be a draw. And then somehow the Shock still won.
That's what that's why I thought you were, because you said
pretty much the first three maps, it felt like Vancouver could have won, except they just didn't manage to win.
Yeah,
because they were,
the first three maps were all close.
Like one or two mistakes, and then just ruined the first three maps for them.
The first three maps were very close, and then Vancouver would just go, "Eh, don't want to win."
It's fine.
Like, they really should have won. Lijiang, it was close, but, like, Shock deserved to win it. Eichenwald, Vancouver should have won it. But they just blew it at the end.
Mm-hmm. It's like they forgot that you can have a hero that's flying most of the time.
I like Rascal.
Yeah, I know. You said that every time you killed someone. Are you still going to like him when he pushes Houston's little itty-bitty bum into their own face, and Atlanta and whatever team you decide to support next season,
dude,
to
add on to it. That's not how that works, dude.
Toronto, maybe? I don't know. It's Florida? Gargoyle? You talk about Gargoyle a lot.
All right, you're getting muted, dude. No, I can't mute you in full screen.
Nice. That's what I like to hear, baby.
Anyway, yeah, basically, for Eichenwald... So Sinatra, basically, Lijiang was basically Sinatra dominating, and then Eichenwald, even though it was closer, they kind of won it because of Rascal dominating.
Yeah, because they took out Sinatra and Striker.
Yeah, and put in Rascal. So the Doomfist dominated Lijiang, and then Pharah, because for some reason, Titans were just like, "Eh, we're fine. We don't need to.
Sure.
We don't need to run Pharah. We'll just run."
I guess.
They kept running May Reaper. It's like, how are you?
Yeah, they were just kind of stubborn in the meta.
Twilight did his best. Problem. Twilight tried to like kill him with Coalescence, and it's like that's you need more than that, dude. So
I said this in like after the game to you that like in map 3, Vancouver should have just not been like, oh, we're only playing meta today, because that's pretty much what they did.
Yeah.
They were just instant locking meta, and then...
they never switched off the meta, whereas, like on Eichenwald, they Shock ran, what was it, Bastion? Was it May Bastion? Then they had some weird...
yeah, they ran a lot of stuff. They ran, like, Pharah on attack. And
yeah, but then, like, they also ran, like, Bastion on third point attack and put him up on a chandelier. Like, they were trying different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Titans were just running the same lineup every single round.
Yeah.
And it wasn't working, and then they kept running it, so that was a mistake. But yeah, Temple of Anubis was closer, I guess. There was a lot of just really long team fights on the second point, but that's just how Anubis goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because they both capped it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then Watchpoint Gibraltar, it kind of looked like it was going to be a full hold at the start by the Shock after they pushed it all the way through and completed the map. But it, I think we both thought it, there was a chance that it was going to be a full hold because the Titans just didn't look good at all.
Yeah, I think, I don't think they got first point in overtime, but it was close.
Yeah, it was a difficult for them.
So yeah, because Shock did it really, really fast. Like, it doesn't really look like they did it fast because it's, they only had a minute 52. But like, Gibraltar usually stalls up super hard on the second and third point. Like, honestly, Gibraltar is probably the hardest to get through any points for any payload map.
Yeah.
Because, like, on first point, you can just be held at that bridge forever. In second point, you can just be held at that corner because the second or the defending team has high ground on the freaking plane. You can hold that forever. And then third point, it's also just hard to get up that hill. So, like, most maps, there's, like, one point where it's easy to push through.
Yeah. Yeah, it just depends on what you're running, and the Titans weren't really running anything adequate. Yeah.
So even though the Shock's time wasn't doesn't look great, it was very fast.
Yeah. Well, it was almost 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good on Gibraltar. It's not, like, all-time best, but...
Yeah. So, honestly, when Shock was about to win, I wasn't like, oh, they're about to win. Oh. I was like, I feel like there's more. And then they won, and then everyone freaked out, and I was like, oh, I guess there's not.
Yeah.
Just because there's a lot of talk over, like, we need to figure out what's wrong with grand finals, because the grand finals are never close. And I'm like, well, first of all, there's only been two. So can't be like, it's always this way when it's happened twice.
I mean, I think it might just be that they're giving them so much time.
Maybe.
Before the grand finals. Cause
but the thing is, last year, it was kind of just like Philly not even trying.
But that's not true. Like, there's no way they went into the game and they're like, okay, we're not going to try.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, this year, it wasn't like something was wrong. It's just Vancouver didn't try, like, they didn't try hard enough. They just made mistakes, so they lost 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing wrong with the grand finals. Both years, the problems weren't with the grand finals. The problems were with how one of the two teams played.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see next year. Now, if next year is also a 4-0 or close, then maybe then we start talking about it. But it's not a trend at two times. That's a coincidence at that point.
I partially agree with you. I don't know. I think just making less time so that teams don't have it, like, so that teams know kind of what the other team's going to be playing can make it more competitive. Because Shock had a lot of time to develop their strategies. Like, how, like, Architect had 2 weeks to figure out how to get a Bastion on that chandelier, you know?
Yeah, but that doesn't like, take 2 weeks, is my argument. It doesn't take 2 weeks to figure that out.
I'm not saying it did take 2 weeks to figure that out, but he had 2 weeks to figure out the whole team had 2 weeks to figure out things like that. So at that point, it's less of a team battle and more of a coaching battle, which is exactly what this Grand Finals was. The fact that the Titans weren't really able to play anything else kind of comes down to their coaching.
They're kind of meta slaves. They kind of just play what the meta says.
So I think it'd be harder for coaches to come up with things, but also easier for them to counter other teams if there was less time between the last time you've seen them play, which was 14 days before this.
I mean, it's better than last year, because last year was like, what, a month?
I think it was a month before the playoffs. I don't think it was a month before like the grand finals, was it?
Pretty sure it was. Can't remember.
But either way, it's just make it more condensed. Like, there's no other playoff structure where there's 2 weeks before the
I guess finals. 1 week would make sense. Give them 1 week to prepare.
I don't know. They also don't need that much time. Like, I just think it's breaking up the flow of the season a little too much and then making it hard for teams to adjust. And it's not a difficulty between the teams, it's difficulty in the infrastructure of the league.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is a good thing to have. So that's my two cents on that one.
Is this thing dumb, dude?
What? You can't find the grand finals.
No, this website's so bad. I went to the inaugural season, and when I click the playoffs and grand finals thing, it just gives me a 404 error. So then I went to stage four, week five, and it says it's the Kit Kat rivalry weekend. That didn't happen in the first season.
Not on the inaugural season. I think it just took you back to the
2019
season.
But it's not, because it says June 13th to 16th, 2018.
Oh, yeah, this is dumb.
Bad website, huh? And I go to stage playoffs. So that's correct, because Dallas is there. What a terrible website, dude. What's wrong? Anyway, I also agree with you there that 2 weeks might even be too long. Because the thing is, you and I were talking about, what do we talk about on the podcast now, dude? The league's over. But, like, in a month, World Cup's going to start. Then that's going to end. And then, like, a month after that, the next season's going to start. So, like, it's not like you've got time to, like, leave it, you know? So you can get rid of a week of waiting because there's already so much Overwatch. But, yeah, overall, oh, yeah, we should talk about Choi.
Oh, yeah, he got finals MVP, which is cool. You could kind of expect it if it wasn't going to be Sinatra.
Well, because you and I were talking about it, and we were like, throughout the whole game, we were like, it's probably going to be Sinatra. Like, Choi, like we specifically said, Choi probably deserves it because he's doing a lot right now, but Sinatra's being really flashy about it. So, but then when they were like, oh, the MVP is here, and I were like, Sinatra, and then they were like, Choi Hyobin, and we freaked out because he deserved it. I guess it's because, like, Sinatra only played two maps.
Yeah, it's the right choice.
It is the right choice.
Yeah. Choi just did very well.
Mm-hmm. And he's like...
It makes sense because he's kind of been building up to this the whole season. Like, he was one of the best... He was probably top three divas in the league the entire season.
Definitely a top two main tank.
Off tank.
That's what I meant, sorry. And maybe even top one.
Because
there's some people who are better than him at certain heroes, but
overall I think he's best.
He's probably the best because he dominated on D.Va, dominated on Hog, then he had to switch over to Sigma. Took a little bit for him to learn, but now he's one of, if not the best Sigma. So
yeah,
congrats to Choi. He deserved it. We were a bit bummed that Super didn't get to play one map, so that he could win the grand finals in his home city, but you know, it's fine. His team won and he contributed to his team getting there, so that's good. Anything else? What do you think of the Vancouver Titans as a whole?
Not Overwatch League level. I don't know. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
They may need to bring in some new coaches or not new coaches, but like
some like
new strategists or something because they kind of need to figure out this not being able to adapt meta thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Because you and I were talking about, we were like, there's not really anything you change about the roster, at least.
Yeah.
Like, the roster's fine. So, they'll figure something out. Basically, the Shock was just the better team. And it's such a good story. You choosing them as your favorite team solely because you liked the orange D.Va skin. Them being an absolutely abysmal team first season.
Well,
they came in 8th out of 12, I think.
Yeah, it's not. Houston came 8th.
Well, we're about to find out, won't we?
Oh, no, Houston came 7th? 6th?
We're about to find out. Standings from...
How many people got into the playoffs last year? 4 people? 4 teams?
So in first season, I literally clicked inaugural season and it's literally showing Vancouver Titans, dude. Like, are you kidding me? I'm at the they need to figure out this website. I click inaugural season and it's just showing. Oh my gosh, do I have to go to Wikipedia, dude? Overwatch League standings 2018. Jesus, dude. All right. Houston came in 7th. So they just lost. They just missed the playoffs. And then San Francisco came in 9th, actually, out of 12. The only teams they didn't beat, or the only teams they did beat, were Dallas, Florida, and Shanghai. So, you know.
Yeah. You know, they're really good.
But, like, the fact that they had such a disappointing first season, but they just kept going, guys, we're not really playing for this season.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, okay, dude. And then they came back this season and absolutely crushed. So good on Shock. Congrats to Krusty. He's nominated for a Best Esports Coach of the Year award for some esports award thing. I hope he wins that because, man, he did a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
And before we wrap it up, the BlizzCon virtual tickets available, and there's a Symmetra skin and a Genji skin. So if you want to pay... Skin. No, it's Genji.
I'm pretty sure it's Hanzo.
I'm 100% sure it's Genji because I'm looking at the thing right now that says it's a Genji skin.
How is it a Genji skin?
I know. Isn't that cool? It's a pretty good Genji skin.
Isn't he like shirtless or something?
Yeah, he's shirtless, and he has eyes.
Ew, why is he shirtless?
Because he's a character from like Diablo or some trash.
I only want to see Hanzo shirtless.
Okay, dude. Anyway, so if you want to shell out $65 for those skins, go ahead. But I won't be doing that.
What else does the ticket get you?
It gets you a bunch of virtual stuff in other games, but I don't play those games. And then it also gets you like access to like stream VODs and behind-the-scenes stuff. I don't know.
I don't care about Blizzard that much.
So yeah, thank you everybody for watching, listening. Let us know how you like the grand finals, and do you think that they should get rid of the week, one of the weeks in between? How do you think they should split that up? Let us know. Be sure to share this with your friends, like it, I don't know, do those things. Am I right, Calder?
Yes.
You're picking your chin like a monkey that picks another monkey's back.
That didn't make any sense at all.
No, because, like, monkeys, like, except you were, like...
I was scratching my chin, but then there's another person.
Thank you, everybody, for watching. Love ya. Appreciate Yeah, we'll catch you next time. Hopefully it stops raining. Bye.
Bye. Has things to worry about.
I mean, so does Sinatra.
No, but Sinatra's not. Hello? Like, I mean, out of Raucous, Sweepy, and Dogman, Dogman has things to worry about.
Yeah.